My name is Diana Fata'i, and my husband is the senior pastor of Lifted Fellowship in Wilmington, California. Well, where is Wilmington? Okay, where our little hood is, it actually is the port of LA. So you'll hear about San Pedro, you'll hear about Long Beach, but Wilmington is actually the city that the port of LA is in. It's called the Heart of the Harbor. My husband served under Steve and Gail Mays, actually both of us, I just said my husband, both of us served under Steve and Gail Mays for about 20 years before my husband was called out to start the fellowship there in Wilmington. At church, I am over the Lifted Women, and that's not just the women's ministry, but anything that pertains to the women. So I try not to look cliquish. So it's really important to me that we named our ministry Lifted Women. You come to Lifted, you're a woman, you're in, right? And then I support our worship team. I support our youth ministry, which we are just kind of birthing at our church. It's called Lifted Next Generation. And then I also teach a women's course at our church in what we call the Lifted School of Servanthood. So, and whatever else my husband calls me out of the dugout to do. So, and we all know that as women who serve. My son and I, this is probably the most important part of what I'm saying is, my son and I read through the same one-year Bible. We have done this for now about 5, maybe 6 years, I think it is. He's always read through a Bible since he could read. We taught him to read I think he started reading at 4. And we just wanted him to know how to read. Before that, he would actually go to sleep and we would play the Bible while he's sleeping. We just played it through all night long. We just let it roll. Pastor Steve, when I was pregnant, he said, just read your son the Psalms. And I said, you know, I'm thinking in my mind, he's in my womb. Just read the Psalm out loud. So we really just always had the word playing around. I was very careful when I was pregnant where I went. I only wanted to go to places that he'll hear the word or hear worship or he'll hear encouragement and those kinds of things. So today, I want us to walk through God's word to gain insight on biblical parenting. The way we're going to do this is it's kind of twofold, is that we're simply going to go through the word today and pull out parenting principles because it's the one sure way to carry out God's heart and mind as we parent God's children. So for our purposes today, biblical parenting is defined as using God's word to guide and instruct our children to live out God's word. And I'm going to be, I chose this word specifically, in their daily life. It's not ours. In their daily life, in the context of what they face every day. If you mark up your, so we're going to walk through Psalm 27 and highlight truth. So if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Psalm 27. And we are going to highlight truths that we as parents are to live out in order to fulfill the call that God has placed upon our lives to parent his children. Parenting is definitely a call. God is using your child to fashion and mold you. It's you that this is all about. Yes, it's about our children to us. But to God, it really is about how he's going to use this child to guide us through our life. If you mark up your Bible, this is a good time just to grab your pen or whatever you use to mark it up as we go through his word. And an interesting thing about this psalm is there's actually a change halfway down. And I thought that was interesting. One commentator stated that it shows the change in a person that can happen any given time during the day and multiple times. So when I apply that to parenting, I just want us all to be free here. Parenting is ever changing. It's always changing because our society changed. However, the principles that God lays out for us remain constant. They remain the same because he's the same to yesterday, today, and forever. And what he gives us is going to work. Sometimes the world puts little thoughts in our minds of this is how we have to change this or that. God's word is the same and it works for every situation. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to half the room right here in the middle, right? So everyone on this side of my hand, you're going to actually read the odd numbered verses. And everyone on this side of the room, you're going to read the even number verses. We're going to actually read through. I have the New King James Bible, if that's okay. If you don't have it, it's okay. You could just hear those in your section with New King James and follow along with your version. So this side here, you're going to start us off with Psalm 27, verse 1, and then we're going to go to this side for 2, and we'll go back and forth in the room. Amen? Amen. So we can begin reading verse 1. Ready, begin.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
When the wicked came against me,
to eat
up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell.
Though the army should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, in this I will be confident.
One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in the temple.
For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock.
And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me.
When you said, "Seek my face," my heart said to you, "Your face, Lord, I will seek."
Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation.
When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me.
Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies.
Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as bring out violence.
I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Lean on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Father, we lift up ourselves to you right now, and we come to you asking you to teach us. Open our ears that we can hear what your Spirit has to say. I want to thank you so much for your word, and I'm sure we all agree. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your powerful, inerrant, infallible, perfect, refreshing, reviving word. We lean on it as parents. We lean on it in every area of our life. Now speak to us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. We all agree by saying amen. The one thing I wanted to look at, verse 1, which you read so beautifully, thank you, is the first line there. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Now, that word light is really key. So really, we're going to anchor all of this on the three words, the light, salvation, and strength in verse 1, right? So that word light is also spoken of the same word in Psalm 36, 9 and Psalm 37, 6. Could I ask someone to read it? I was so nervous, I forgot my phone.
Which one?
Psalm 36, 9.
No, I have it on my phone, and I don't know what to do with my phone.
I can read it.
Thank you so much.
It's in ESV, is that okay?
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Okay. It says, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. 36:9, right?
Correct. Can you read it one more time?
Yeah. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light.
So when we go to this light, we will also see light, according to God's word. When we shine the light of God's word as parents onto our situation, remember, light is the absence of darkness. So when you get to areas in parenting with your children that are dark or that are unclear, this light will clarify it. If there is no clarification to you as a parent, you don't make a move. We don't make a move until there's clarity, until you have a word to hang on to. My husband has a rule at our church when people say, I want to come and I want to serve, he'll say, get a word. get a word from the Lord. If a parent comes to him, get a word from the Lord before you make that decision for your child. Right now for our son, there's this really important thing that my husband and I really conflicted about. We're not sure. So obviously we know we're not making a move. However, about 2 days ago, I ran to my husband. I said, God gave me a word. God gave me this word. And he looked at me when I read it and he said, that's a good word. And so we are just waiting for God to guide us with this child that he's given us to make sure that we don't make decisions because of our ego or because we have to look like this kind of parent or that we have this problem or this problem now becomes our son's problem because it's our problem. So we're really leaning on God's light. Can someone read Psalm 37:6?
He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday.
I love this verse because sometimes when we make decisions for our kids, they turn around, they look at us like we're the devil. God will bring forth. Is that what that says, Stephanie?
Yes.
Bring forth the. Can you read it again?
Yes. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday.
God is going to cover you. As long as you're using the light of his word to guide your children, you're going to actually, he will cover you. He covers it all. You could really free yourself. It's a huge responsibility to be a parent of a child. We're not talking about a purse or a pair of shoes. We're talking about a life. This is something that God has given us as a gift, right? So we want to make sure that we are following the creator and his heart for this child. I can literally look at my son and say, oh, he so gets that from his mother. You know, this kind of thing. But in reality, God created him when he was in my womb. I don't know what God was looking at or what he said when he created your children in your womb, but God knows. And so this light is really important. We want to make sure that we wait. I think one of the verses there talked about waiting. And so, like I said before, if God doesn't give you a green light, you and your husband, through his word, then the answer for you at that moment is you got to wait. We don't make any movements. The next word that it says there is, it says, and my salvation. Could someone read Psalm 36? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Psalm 18:35. And Psalm 25:5, if someone else, this is going to be interactive here. So thank you for helping me. Psalm 18:35 and Psalm 25:5. Someone could read Psalm 18.
You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great.
Read it one more time, please.
Psalm 18:35. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great.
So that word salvation is also rescuing. God is into rescuing us. He's also into rescuing our children. So that verse there, the word that stood out to me out of Psalm 18:35 is gentle. Now, I don't know about you. A lot of women are just gentle by nature. That is not me. I am very direct. I want my son to understand what mommy's talking about. I want him to know. And one thing I didn't say is I actually have 1,400 students. I'm actually a principal. And so I have 1,400 children that these parents are trusting under my care. And so I called them my children. They're all my children, and I love my children. And when they come to me, I'm actually praying in my head and I'm asking God to show me how am I going to guide them. A lot of the times God is saying, be gentle. Because me, I'm sorry, I grew up in the project, I'm hood. I'm looking at my kid, I'm saying, I'm sorry, what are you doing out of class? You need, you know, this kind of thing, chop, chop. But God is saying, be gentle, and it works. His gentleness, his character, as long as Diana stays within God's character, when I'm working with my kids or my son, I'm actually in his character and it's going to work for them. It's not about Diana and all of her training and all of this and that and this is how I'm going to run it. It's really not that. It really is about what does God want for this child, these children that he's trust you with. Amen. Someone has Psalm 25:5. Thank you. Yeah.
Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day.
You are going to highlight, box, boldface it. That is our prayer as moms every single day. We must be in the position of learning. Yes, you are the parent and you are the one that this child is depending on, but we are always learners. We are always available. I remember Kay Smith used to tell us as pastor's wives, you should be able to close your eyes and allow God to instruct you at any given time. You should allow God to show you your heart at any given time. That shows us that we're in a place of humility and we're willing to learn. I do not always make the right decisions. And honestly, I don't know about women, but for me, it drives me crazy because all I can think about is how did I mess up my son's, you know, this, or how did I mess up this person's life and this, that, and the other. And it concerns me. It dwells with me, but God frees us in the sense that he really is the one that's going to take care of it, even my mess ups. So you could free yourselves as a mother knowing that God is really ultimately the one who is responsible for your children. And so as long as we stay within this light, in this salvation, in this sense of we're learning, God is going to teach us. He always wants to teach us. I love the part where it says, who read the Psalm 25:5? Can you read it one more time?
Yes. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day.
So to wait on God. So for me, when I tell my son, I need the college class plan from you and your counselor, I need it like I needed it yesterday. I need to not wait on my son's counselor. I need to wait on God. I need to not wait on his football coaches who are annoying me to no end. I need to wait on God. I don't need to wait on him to tell me why I got an overdue email from his Schoology platform. I need to wait on God. I am not a waiter. When it comes to my son, I am his only mother, and I take that responsibility very seriously. But at the same time, it's a negative because of that. Does that make sense what I'm saying? So we need to wait on God. If our children are not doing what we want them to do, when they say, yes, we instruct them, but we wait on God and we go on our knees and pray before the Lord. Amen. So as a parent, as we look at this, we want to make sure that we're in God's, that we use God's light, that we understand that we are in within his umbrella of him rescuing us and our children. Notice that it says the word fear twice in there. It says in verse 1, we're still on verse 1, whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? I don't know about you, but in this day and age, I have a lot of fears about my son. I've even heard some women tell me confidentially, I don't want to have children in this climate that we live, and I don't blame them. My son used to go to school in Rancho Palos Verdes for middle school in California. That's a nice area. Now he is at a school that's in basically Watts, LA. It's a challenging area. And I'm thinking to myself, Kate, you do not know hood. Your parents do, but you do not. You know, so I'm not trusting the fact that he knows what to do if something happens. But the school is a high performing school. He's learning Latin in the hood. Like, it's just, it's amazing to me how God is just has a sense of humor. But when we take a look at this fear, we all have fears as parents, as moms. And it's not that it's not valid. But what happens is this is what my follow up question is. What are you going to do with that fear? According to this, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. When those things are all in operation, then the fear, we can actually subside it. We can actually set it aside. It won't consume our decision making. It won't make us do things that is not within the light and the salvation and the strength of the Lord. But the fear is not something that you get and then you think, I'm not a Christian or I'm not a good mom. That's from the enemy. Fear is a natural emotion that we get when something is, we have a concern. And so when we have this fear, the answer is right there and then. It's, we lean on God's light, his salvation, and the strength. It's interesting here regarding that word strength there. So David, he was a seasoned warrior, and he's the one who said that. He's a seasoned warrior. Remember, he had the three. One of the three was the one who stood in the middle of the field and took on 800 of the enemy by himself. I'm like, dude, you're bad. You are good. Right? And he says here in verse 1, the Lord is the strength of my life. He didn't say his expertise, his skill in battle. He didn't list a resume for God. You know, he didn't do all of that. He just bowed himself, right? Because God is worthy. And he said, you are the strength of my life. As a mom, there are days when we don't want to get out of bed. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get out of bed. But somebody's got to cook my son's lunch. I got to make sure he's not eating fast food. I got to make sure he's eating whole foods. I got to make sure that he has this, that, and the other, and that he doesn't forget his football gear like he does every single day, right? And just things like that. But we have to make sure that we are operating in the strength of the Lord, that we bow down and we allow God to show us what to do. There are so many times in my child rearing that God spoke to my son first through his word before I said anything. I absolutely love that about God, that he will discover this in his middle school life, in his first, second, third, fourth, fifth grade life, and now in his high school life, where he actually saw God reveal himself through the word, and I didn't have to say anything. I affirmed it, or I supported it, or I, you know, did what I can, but really, moms, for us, if we lead our children to learn how to look at God's word and apply it, most of the work is kind of done, except for, you know, the basic needs that we do, feed them, change their diapers, and so forth. But when we give them God's word, God will speak to them. God will change their heart. I do have to disclaim, say this. I am also preparing for the day when my son comes to me and says, I don't want your God. You and Dad, this is your thing. Dad, I love your church. Thank you for raising me in church, but I'm just going to say no, because they have the freedom to choose. Is that correct? Yes. Thank you for helping me. So when we take a look at these things, you're looking at this from the lens of God's light, God's salvation, God's strength. Amen, ladies. What does it look like when the Lord is the strength of a parent's life? So you can write your answers down, because I'm sure you have answers as well. But these, I have three here. The parent is at peace, even when life around is chaotic. So the thing about parenting is you also are, you have a husband. So it's not just the children. We have to fulfill our call. Well, we get to fulfill our call as wives, right? So we have the children and the husband, right? There is peace within us, even though there's chaos all around. The parent is not stressed or anxious, because the parent is trusting in the strength of the Lord. The parent runs to where God's word is being taught, heard, and there is a consistent and substantial feeding, the feeding of God's word in the parent's life. Those are the three things. I'm going to talk about the consistent feeding, because we are all in ministry and we all know the word and we do that. But to keep it consistent through all of the seasons of you and your husband's ministry, of all the seasons of your children, those of you with multiple children with different grade levels, to be consistent in feeding your soul consistently through the word. If there is one thing that I am going to give Pastor Chuck and Kay a hug for when we get to heaven, is thanking them for teaching us how to walk through the word. This is not about a show. This is not about a performance on how I can motivationally speak and give the word this way. It really is just like we're doing today. It's just to walk through God's word, how to take it and apply it in our lives and now our children's lives. Amen, ladies. As a parent, God's light, salvation, and strength are our mainstays. You do not move from there, ladies. Do not let your children or your emotion or your fear or anything move you away from God's light, his salvation, and his strength. When we take a look at verse 2 and 3, when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. What are we to do in the midst of a world that is not godly? Go back to verse 1. Lean in heavy on God's light, salvation, and strength. When we are completely dependent on those three things, fear is absent and confidence strives within our lives, the confidence in the Lord. This directly affects how we are going to parent. My son one time came home and he just let it all out in the van. I mean, my husband and I were just driving, and usually we're very opinionated people, right? especially if you're in ministry, you have a solution for everything. I don't know why. Can someone tell me how we turn that off? The troubleshooting. Is that possible? You're always troubleshooting. Either someone's texting you that someone passed away, or this woman needs to know what size ribbon you want, or, you know, it's just constant. Like, what is it that we do? So he's just laying it out. And my husband and I, we just had this sense from God, just be quiet. Just let him rip. He was letting it out. I think if someone was next to us, they could have heard him. All we did from there is we knew in our heart, no matter what our son is going through, because Mama Bear came out. I was like, oh no, get in my phone. I'm going to tell, what did that coach say to my son? You know, this and that and this. But we knew to stay in God's light, his salvation, that he would rescue our son and rescue us from not doing anything dumb. And his strength, because God has him no matter where he is in his journey in life, right? And so when we talk about this, this directly affects how we parent. In Romans 8, 37 to 39, this is also mirrored, not just in the Psalm, but also in the New Testament, because God is consistent throughout his word. In Romans 8, 37 to 39, it says this, "Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors," more than, okay? You're not just a conqueror, you're more than conquerors, "through him, the light, the salvation, and the strength who loved us. For I am persuaded, fully persuaded, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us, nor our children, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." We don't have to fear. What we need to do is remain focused on the light, the salvation, and the strength, and not negotiate that and stay put. In verse 4 of Psalm chapter 27, it says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." The light, salvation, and the strength come from us prioritizing. And I'm going to say this, church. Church is essential. Church is absolutely necessary. And I'm going to say this from my lens, because I'm not my lens, but my life is, most of my people, Samoans, we grow up going to church. It's just a normal thing. Now I'm looking at the generation here in the States. For my family and my culture, they're not going to church. Church is not important. So my question is how did that happen? I don't know. I'm still observing, and I'm a researcher. I'm gathering my little, you know, findings there. But church must be important to you. And I'm going to say this way. What are your children seeing you do when you're going through something? How do you talk about church at home? How do you talk about ministry in front of your children? As a wife, what are you saying about the ministry when your husband is not home all the time? Are you complaining in front of your children? These are ways for us to bring church into our lives as parents. When I was a new parent, I remember, I call her Mama, but it's Gail Mays. I remember Mama telling us pastors' wives at South Bay, she used to say, you want your children to love God and the ministry. You don't want them to turn on them. So every time my son said, Mommy, where's Daddy? I go, Daddy is blessing God's people. Let's pray for Daddy. And so he had this little prayer. He said, God, pour upon in and through my daddy to bless your people today. Amen. He said that prayer, I think, from the time he could talk until I think recently. I guess it's too cool for him. It's too, kiddish for him. And so it's kind of like it stops. But I really purposed in my heart, because I have my own comments about how often my husband is gone, but those are mine. Those are mine to take before the Lord. I am not to overflow that into my son's heart or life. So as women in ministry, we want to be careful that our children see that one thing that we desire of the Lord is that we will seek and dwell in the house of the Lord, even in our home. And our relationship with them, it is crucial. We do not want to see our children grow up and hate God and hate the ministry, because that was all Mom and Dad were concerned about, and they were not concerned about me. Which brings up another point. Always check in on your children. When my husband talks about my son over the pulpit, I will make it a point to follow up with him and say, how'd you feel about Daddy talking about you? And put that, you know, what were your thoughts? Tell Mommy, I want to hear it. I want to hear it all. And most of the time he's okay with it, but I think the part that blesses his heart is that I followed up. Because you could think, oh, well, they're here, you know, he's talking about my child, and to your child's mind, I can't believe my dad's talking about me in front of the church. Like, some people, remember, it's a wider audience, right? And if your husband is on the radio, okay, now everybody's going to hear about it, right? And so those are things that I think are important as moms, always following up. Let your husband do the, you know, his call, but we follow behind to make sure that our children see that the one thing we desire is always to seek the Lord and bring church home. We're not just churchy at church. This is something we do at home. Amen, ladies?
Amen.
Verse 5, for in time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Again, this reinforces God is our safety, salvation. He's our children's safety. 6, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing. We need to sing, moms. It's good. When no one is around, you bust them notes up like, you know, ain't nobody's business. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Verse 7, oh, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Verse 8, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, will I seek. This is our call as parents, to choose to seek the Lord for all that pertains to our children. Now, I do want to say this. Do not compare your children to the other children in your church. Don't compare your children to other people's children in the ministry. Your child is your child. God specifically tailored made you to be the mother to your children. I don't care if the children came from your womb or you adopted them. God found a way for you to be the mother to those children, to your children. So don't compare them to other people. Seek the Lord. Always seek the Lord regarding your children. And for those of you with multiple children, they're not all the same. I know one family where one child was homeschooled, another was sent to a Christian school, and then I think the other one, I forget what it was. I almost want to say it was some kind of differently, and I'm in education, I should know, but yeah. But it was different for each child, and I was really blessed by that. That was the first time I was exposed to that. They were really looking at the needs of each of their children. My husband and I have one child, so he was not going to be homeschooled. I need you to go out there and interact with other people so you can share, because he could get selfish. Like, why is so-and-so spending the night in my room? And I'm looking at him like, that is not your room. You are a freeloader. You do not pay bills. You do not work. You could recycle for your money, but even mom and dad are recycling, you know, that kind of thing. So just those kinds of things where you are making sure that your children are being uniquely ministered to. Some of your children are going to come and tell you everything that's wrong with everything. In fact, you'll have coordinators in your families that come and tell you, Dad, we need to do this at the church, this and that. And then you're going to have other children who just sit quietly. And not that they're not coordinating it, but they're just quiet. They're processing, right? They're thinkers. In verse 9, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Amen, ladies? Amen. Do not leave me nor forsake me with these children. Oh, God of my salvation, right? Be there, God. Be there. I'm counting on you. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. There's a couple of things in here is we do not ever want, God will never leave us as parents. It's us who leave him or decide that we're going to decide, right? But the verse 10 really spoke to me because my parents are no longer here. My husband has one parent left, and she's far away. So we have had to raise our child without my mom and dad. My mom was actually in his life for, I think, the first 4 years. But it's really hard when your child is crying for grandma and you can't give him his Grammy. That was my first welcome into parenthood regarding what I cannot give my child. And so when we take a look at when my father and mother forsake me, when your sister forsakes you, when your family forsakes you, when the church forsakes you, when whoever forsakes you, it says there that the Lord will take care of you. The Lord will take care of you. The Lord will take care of your children. I'm often, and this is just me being honest, I fear that something will happen with me and my husband and my son is left by himself. In fact, many times we kind of have this unspoken rule in our house. My husband and I will never travel alone without one of us being home with our son, or we kind of just do those things. Only because that's just a concern of mine. But in reality, God spoke to me when I was coming here and he said, you always worry about your son. You always worry about everything. I want you to know that even if you died right now, and none of all those things that you want in place are in place. I'm going to take care of Stephen Fua. And I cried because I'm thinking, are you serious, Diana? You are not God. Like, you're trying to take God's place when God ultimately gifted you with that child. Yeah, I come to process sooner or later, right? I'm a little slow, but I'll catch it. Verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. Just be open. Now, I want to say this is because you're going to have people talk about your children at your church. You're going to have family members who just treat your child like unlike the precious gem that they are to you. It just happens. It comes with the territory. These are things that come when you're in ministry and you have children. Some of them won't say it to your face, but you'll hear it in a comment. So what do we do? Lord, teach me your way. Through that comment that person made that just stabbed me through my heart right after my husband gave a great message, right? Just teach me your way. Just be open to how God is going to use it to strengthen your heart and lead you into a smooth path. What I am going to say is I usually go to my husband. I'll say, hey, so-and-so said this out loud about my son's clothes. Are you going to handle it or do you want me? I know, right? Because I personally chose my son's clothes. No, I'm just kidding. And so, he'll usually say, let's just pray. Let's pray right now. So usually the prayer is directed toward me. Yeah, and God, just keep my wife at bay. You know, you're good and that kind of thing. But just really always, if you're not sure, go to your husband. Just go to your covering. They're wise and they deal with situations like that. Verse 13, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I, as a mom, would have lost heart unless I had believed. You must believe what God's word says as a mom. Not the women, not the social media posts that you're seeing people post. First of all, I only put certain things about my son on social media. We have to be careful, right? But you would have lost heart unless you believed. You must believe God's word at every single turn. Now, when everything's going good, probably not as much as when everything is going crazy. And it says, you would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The remedy for a lost heart is to believe in the goodness of God, to anchor ourselves in the truth that all that happens is for good. That all that happens is for good. A little bit of my story is, my husband and I, when we got married, we wanted 12 children. I know, I hear that a lot. We were going to take the first three, train them up in our image and likeness, and then they were going to then help us raise the next three, and then we would, right? And then they would help us raise the next. We had a plan. It was a really good plan. But it took us 12 years for God to send me a sign that there could actually be life in my womb. So we trusted God. We anchored ourselves in the truth that all that happens is for the good. I wanted us to have kids when my parents were alive, when all this, and I had this whole plan. It was such a great plan, but it wasn't God's. But when God sent our child, I then saw the goodness of God. I saw why. I started to believe. I told my husband, you heard 12 children or 12 years? Like, the number 12 was in there, you know, that kind of thing. So no matter where you are in being a parent or where your children are, trust in the goodness of God. He really is good. Everything that he does, no matter what it looks like to you right now, it's for good for everyone involved. Verse 14, can everybody highlight that one in your Bible? Wait. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart. There's that word strength again. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The interesting thing about this verse is it's almost the remedy for verse 1. They bookended it. They bookended 1 and 14. They somewhat mirror. That's a great foil, as we say in English. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Why does he have to say wait twice? And then he says fear twice in the first verse, right? Why does he do that? We need to wait. When God says something twice, we need to pay attention. So show good courage by not overstepping. How do we overstep as parents? Okay, here's three. I like the number three, it seems, huh? Number one, we do not seek the Lord first in any matter. We don't seek the Lord first in any matter that pertains to our children. That's how we overstep. We're overstepping because now we are God. We know best. You're just going to do what I say right now, you know, that kind of thing. Two, we do not wait on the Lord for the direction or answer. when we seek him for our children. And again, I'm going to say this, have patience. If God does not give you a word out of his word, don't make a move. Don't do anything until he gives you the release. Number three, we do not allow God to strengthen our heart when things get tough. And we are tempted to shortchange our children by not waiting on him. It's actually to bless your children that you should wait on God. When we don't allow God to strengthen our heart, then our heart turns into the women of the world. When we don't allow God to strengthen our heart, so when you go through a difficult time with your child or something devastating happens, God, allowing God to strengthen you through that will teach you a character, a facet about God that we've never seen before. It was only through that situation that God was able to reveal himself. And so when we do that, we don't respond like the women of the world. We respond like women who are anchored in God's word and trust in his goodness, that he is our light, our salvation, and our strength. Amen? Amen. I wanted to do this they asked us to do a Q&A, but I actually want to adjust a little bit. What I want to do, because me hearing myself talk, it's not good for me. So what I wanted to do is I wanted you to look back on your notes or in your Bible and just circle one thing that God is kind of showing you as a parent. This is the one thing I want you to focus on. You can make a list of things, but if you just give me one thing that I can take with me, and then today, tomorrow, God will just unfold it and unpack it in my heart and mind. What is one thing out of this time that we've had that God is speaking to you? Now, this is what I'm also going to tell you. Whatever that one thing is, tag it back to the scripture out of Psalm 27 or whatever scripture. Diana's words are only going to take you, so probably not even out the door. So I want you to tag it to a scripture that was given. I'm just going to give you a few moments to kind of isolate that, and then I will go from there. Give you a few more minutes, just a few more moments. So what I want you to do is I want you to turn to the sister next to you and just share it. And then what I want you to do is I want you to take down however, if it's her name or however, so that you pray her through. What I loved about last year was they told us to take someone's number that we don't know. So the pastor's wife that I've been praying for this whole year, we've been texting back and forth from Alaska. She's completely different from me. She was telling me, hey, you want to come camping? I came camping to come to the... I go, I don't camp. I love you. I love you, Marianne, but I don't camp. I can come bring you... Do you want me to bring you something to your campsite? You know, that kind of thing. Then I told her, I said, hey, let's go do the nails. And she goes, I don't do nails. And I go, who doesn't do nails? So anyway, so we're so different, but we have been texting, praying for each other for this whole year. Through ministry, through her giving birth, through me and my son and all these things, and only things that pastor's wives or we could talk to each other about. You know, I'll tell her, this person so-and-so, and then she'll say, okay, I'm praying, and then she'll send a scripture. So what I want to do is give you this opportunity with another parent so that you can actually, and hopefully it's not someone you know. I would really like it if you connected with someone else because the body is global, right? The church. And so if you could just kind of share that with someone, I'm going to give you a little bit of time and then you'll know we're going to come back because you'll hear something that is not you talking. Is that good? Okay. Yes. Don't forget to introduce yourself.